We'll start with... Then we'll start with Sri Godruma Chandra Bhajana Upadesh, page 24. Now, this is a very long bhajan. It's got 20 verses to it. So we were thinking to only sing 10 of them. Sorry. Some of us want to sing them all, don't we? This is a very, very beautiful bhajan where Lord Sharad Bhaktivinoda Thakur is giving all the instructions on how to worship Lord Chaitanya, the moon of Godram. So he goes through describing so many pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, describing who Lord Chaitanya is, and then finally giving us instructions how to perform sadhana in text number 16, what should be our mood. We'll read these after in English, and then encouraging everyone to go to Gauravanam, Chala Gauravanam Navakandamayam. And finally, that we should all worship his beautiful Gaura Gadadha deities at Godram Dweep. Behind us we have a picture, up here, a small picture of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's samadhi at his house in Godram Dweep. And in that samadhi there are beautiful Gaura Gadadha deities about this height. So tomorrow when we do our slideshow, we'll get darshan of them also. And anyone going to Mayapur should always go there and take their darshan. They're so merciful. So we will sing 1 to 5 and 16 to 20. Sorry, Vrindavan.
Rasupano param vidayam Jamuna.
bellows of the lotus feet of Lord Hari. Then give up household life, which is full of quarrels and strife, and just worship Lord Gaura, the moon of Godram's forest bowers. Material riches, youth, long duration of life and royal happiness, none of these are eternal. At any moment they may be destroyed. Give up all useless topics of mundane conversation and just worship Lord Gaura, the moon of Godram's forest bowers. O friend, ultimately the pleasure to be had in the company of beautiful young women turns to fearfulness and distracts one from the real goal of life. Just worship Lord Gaura, the moon of Godram's forest bowers, with your mind intoxicated by the nectarine mellows of the holy name. The taste of mundane poetry does not afford the sweet taste of actual poetry. The sweet mellows of true poetry are found in the descriptions of Lord Chaitanya, the savior of all souls in the Kali Yuga. Enough with the study of any other topics. Just worship Lord Gaura, the moon of Godram's forest bowers. Krishna, the transcendental paramour, stands on the banks of the Jamuna with Radha, the daughter of Vrishabhanu, on his left. He is absorbed in the pastimes of playing soft, melodious songs on his flute. Just worship the beautiful moon of Godram's forest bowers, Lord Chaitanya, who is non-different from the son of Nanda. Remaining devoted, number 16, remaining devoted to the service of the Vaishnavas, being addicted to drinking the sweet nectar of the holy name of Hari, and with a mentality endowed with modesty, humility and compassion, just worship Lord Gaura, the moon of Godram's forest bowers. Always worship Lord Gaura, the beautiful moon of Godram's forest bowers, and call out to the Lord, O Yadava, O Madhava, O Krishna, O Hari, O Rama, O Janardhan, O Keshava, O best, O beloved Lord of Radha. Just worship Lord Gaura, the moon of Godram's forest bowers, and call out to the Lord, O Lord of the Vrindavan forest, which lies along the banks of the Jamuna, O Lord of Govardhan hill, O sun of the forest groves of Gokul, O giver of life to the Rasa dance, O Gaura Hari. Go to Navadvip, the land of Lord Chaitanya. Read and recite with great joy the wonderful pastimes of Gaura Hari. Roll about in ecstasy on the bank of the Ganges, which are marked with the footprints of Lord Chaitanya, and worship this Lord Gaura, the beautiful moon of Godram's forest bowers. Remember the wonderful pastimes of Gaura and Gadadhar. Become a servant of Gaura and Gadadhar. Listen to the beautiful narrations concerning Gaura and Gadadhar, and worship Lord Gaura, the beautiful moon of Godram's forest bowers. So this is one of the longest and most beautiful songs written by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So today we want to study a little bit about his life and also about his writings in relationship to Navadvip Dham. So first of all, in the front of our books, we have a timeline on Bhaktivinoda Thakur. You can look it up. On page 6 it begins. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is such an exalted personality that it's very difficult to talk about him in 10 or 15 minutes. So it will be a little skeletonic if we talk about him like that. But if anyone has opportunity to read any of his life, you can see that he's a most remarkable and inspiring personality. So it's unfortunate that we don't have more time to simply glorify him. But keeping to the subject, we'll go shortly through his life and then we'll speak about some of his activities in relationship to Navadvip Dham. So he appeared in this world on September 2nd, 1838. In his early childhood, his family was very, very wealthy. He was born in a place called Ulugram in Nadia district in Gaur Mandala. And We read later on in his life that whole village was destroyed by an epidemic, and only he and very few of his family members survived that epidemic. So, it doesn't have the date, but when he was 8 years old, three of his brothers died, and his family wealth on both sides began to decline. And then when he was 11 years old, his father also died. When he was 12 years old, he was married. He describes it in his autobiographical sketch that it was like a child's doll marriage because his wife was only 5 years old. So you can just imagine what it was like, and they had so many lights and bands. Like we see here in India, when there's a marriage, they have these brass bands that play and make a terrible noise, and they march in line and sit on the horse with the turban on, and the little child in front, and march through with all the decorations on the horse and all dressed up. So they did all the wealth, all their wealth was used to make this marriage a very opulent and successful affair. But a five-year-old little girl was the bride. So when he was 14 years old, he was sent to Calcutta for education, where he studied for 4 years. He went to college in Calcutta, but actually all around this time he was extremely poor. And he left his wife through this period of his life with her family, because she was only such a little girl. So when she was 12 years old and he was 19 years old, then she came to join him in Calcutta. But by this time, many things had happened. The village had been destroyed by epidemic, and he was living only with his grandmother and his mother, his grandmother, mother, and his wife. Then in 1859, he went to Orissa because his grandfather was about to die. And his grandfather was a great mystic yogi, and he could predict the future. And he knew when he was going to die, so he called Bhaktivinoda Thakur there. His name then was Kedaranath Dutta. And when he came there, he gave him certain predictions, and one of them was that by the time... So he assured him that when he was 27 years old, he would find his career. And he also predicted that he would become a very great Vaishnava saint. So then Bhaktivinoda Thakur went through more difficulties. His wife died, leaving him a very young son and other children. So he remarried at this stage. Then by the time he was 27, as predicted by his grandfather, he obtained a government post and he became the deputy magistrate in Dinajpur. It is said in his autobiography that that time, after great effort, he found a copy of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which was basically almost extinct. You could not find this book anywhere. So he was searching and searching and searching where he could find Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he describes himself that once he read it, he experienced anurag. So he was appearing as an ordinary person in this world, a magistrate, a worldly man. He talks of himself like that. But then when he read Chaitanya Charitamrita, immediately he had very, very, very high and elevated ecstatic symptoms, just simply from his first reading. So then we can see that this ushered, that the Lord, removing the Yogamaya curtain by the Lord himself, he was ushering his loving servant further onto the stage for the transcendental drama of his life. Then he finally, after that, he retired in 1871 to become the deputy magistrate in Jagannath Puri. So he went there at first alone, without his family. And there he wrote, he used to visit regularly Gambira, Siddha Bakul, Haridas Thakur Samadhi, and Tota Gopinath, these four places, as well as the Jagannath Mandir. He constantly would spend his time in these transcendental places. And he wrote one poem about Haridas Thakur Samadhi, which verse we know very well, Srila Prabhupada has told us. He reasons ill who think that Vaishnavas die when thou art living still and sound. So he wrote that verse glorifying Haridas Thakur. He also wrote another very famous poem called Sharagrahi Vaishnav, which I think is very commonly known by most devotees, have read it here or there. And he wrote a very interesting essay on the life of Lord Jesus Christ. describing how in Christianity all the five primary rasas of Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and a little tiny hint of Madhurya are there in the teachings and life of Jesus Christ. It's the most extraordinary presentation. When you read it, you think only a genius could write this, because nobody else could possibly extract what he was able to see in the life and the teachings of Jesus Christ, which of course we know are completely of a different mood when we see the example in the world today of the Vaishnava religion and the Christian religion. They're quite different. But he could find traces of Vedic culture within this. So then, after that, at that time, Vishakishan was arrested and he was tried at the same time. So that's a very famous story also that we're all familiar with. And he was intensely studying the Sandarbhas and the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and other books. And he wrote, he began his writing. Then, he used to go regularly and give lectures in the Mukti Mandap, in the Jagannath Mandir, which most of us have got no opportunity to go inside of. There are different areas of the Mandir, and one of them is called the Mukti Mandap. And there, from a very long time, it's historically that they give discourses, different lectures are given. And because predominantly you'll find, if you examine the philosophy that is preached in Jagannath Puri and what the pandas say when they speak about Lord Jagannath, you will recognize that it is very much tainted with impersonalism. One reason being that it was Shankaracharya himself who... Yes?
Ma'am, sorry to interrupt you. Is there a Bhakti Rachel here? Carry on.
All right. It was Shankaracharya who renovated the worship of that temple after the Buddhists had invaded it. So there's a great history to Jagannath Puri. So at that time, the influence of impersonalism became very strong. So the mandap is called Mukti Mandap. But when he would lecture there, his lectures were so brilliant that they decided that it should be called at that time the Bhakti Mandap. Mandap means like a sitting place. Oh, yes? Okay. Then in 1888... he discovered the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. And 7 years later, in 1897, after having retired from his government service and gone door to door collecting himself in Calcutta and other places to acquire enough money, he built the first temple at the Yogapit. So the temple that he built is not the main building that we see now when we look across the fields with the pointed top. It's another building beside that. That building was built later under the care of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So he opened the Yogapit temple at that time, and he began traveling, preaching, and printing many books. And of course, in 1896, his famous book, Sri Chaitanya's Teachings, was sent to the West, the first book written in English about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as we know, it was the same year that our Srila Prabhupada appeared in this world. And at that time, Srila Bhaktivinoda predicted that a great person was coming who was going to take the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and spread them all over the world. So from that time on, he continued preaching and publishing many, many books until 1908, when he accepted Babaji initiation from Gokishore Das Babaji Maharaj. And there's a very funny story about that also, because Gokishore Das Babaji Maharaj considered Bhaktivinoda Thakur as his Shiksha Guru. So he worshipped Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but he was Babaji and Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a Grihastha. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted to enter into this renounced order of life. So he was looking to try to take this order from Gokishore Das Babaji, who was extremely reluctant to give it to him. So one day Bhaktivinoda Thakur became very determined to go out that day and find Gokishore Das Babaji Maharaj and insist that he give him Babaji initiation. So Gokushodas Babaji Maharaj, also being very transcendentally all-knowing, knew the plan of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, so he spent the whole day chanting japa on the veranda of a very well-known prostitute. So he sat there all day, chanting. And then at the end of the day, he started laughing very loudly. So someone asked him why he was laughing. And he said, because today I have cheated the Thakur, he said. Because by sitting here, this is a place that he would never come. He's looking all over everywhere for me, but he will never come here. So today I have outwitted him. So he was very pleased with himself. But shortly after that, Bhaktivinoda Thakur caught him and begged him again. And by accepting an old cloth of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, who Bhaktivinoda Thakur considered as his Shiksha Guru, he accepted the Babaji initiation. Then he returned to Puri. Actually, he returned to Puri earlier than that. In 1910, he shut himself up in his Bhakti Bhavan, which he had established one house in Calcutta. And he feigned paralysis. And on this excuse that he was paralyzed, and under the care of one Krishna Das Babaji, who had joined him in Jagannath Puri in 1900 when he was there, who took care of him to the very end of his life, he went into the final stage of samadhi. And after that time, he was very little seen, until he finally left this world 4 years later, on the disappearance day of Gadadhar Pandit. Then his transcendental body was cremated, and the ashes were brought back to Swanandar Sukhada Kunj, which was his house in Godram Dweep, and they were placed in samadhi. And within a year, Krishna Das Babaji Maharaj, who was a young man, out of intense mood of separation from his spiritual master, he also left this world. So his samadhi was placed by the side of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's. So if you go to see this Swananda Sukhada Kunj, you'll see there's the main samadhi of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and to one side there's a bhajan kutir of Gokishodas Babaji Maharaj, and on the other side is the samadhi mandir of Krishna Das Babaji. So this gives us a little bit of an idea, very, very briefly, of some of the glories of his life. But we're particularly interested in him in relationship to the relevance in relationship to Navadvip Dham. So what are his main contributions in that regard? We can say that, in one sense, the first and foremost, most significant thing that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur did, the most important thing, was that he found and established the Yogapit. Because without knowing the location of the Yogapit, which is the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya and the center of Antadweep, and Antadweep is the center of all of Navadweep, without knowing this, you could not locate anything else. So until the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, nobody knew anything about Navadweep. It was very, very much covered. It says here in chapter 5 of Navadvip Mahatma, this is Lord Nityananda speaking. He says, very soon by the desire of the Lord, this will be nearly hidden under the water of the Ganges. So he's talking about how after the Lord disappears from his pastimes, the circle, eternal pastimes of Lord Chaitanya take place within the Yogapit in the circle of Mayapur. But after that time, the Ganges for 100 years will cover all of Navadvip, and no one will know where anything is. Everything will be completely hidden. This is how mysterious Navadvip Dham is. As opposed to Vrindavan, where we can go and see Govardhan, Barshana, we can see the hill of Lord Brahma, we can see the hill of Lord Shiva at Nandishwar, at Nandagram, we can see the Jamuna still, we can see all the places of Krishna's pastimes. But Navadvip was completely hidden before Bhaktivinoda Thakur revealed all of these places. It says, then by the powerful desire of the Lord, the Dham will again be revealed and shine effulgently. The eternal Dham is never really lost, but is temporarily covered, and then it appears again before our eyes. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wanted to retire to Vrindavan. This was his plan. But he had a dream, and Lord Chaitanya appeared to him and told him, no, you can't do that. You have some work to do in Navadvip. So then he made his house in Godramdvip. So from there, it describes that he was looking across the plains, which is now where our temple is, and he saw some glowing light. He had been studying many maps and many books, trying to understand where was this yoga pit, the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, but he had not been able to locate it. And when he saw this glowing light, he became very intrigued to know what was that place. So he went to the place where he had seen this light coming from, and he found out from the local people that there was a big mound, and the mound was covered by tulsi plants. And nobody knew when those tulsi plants had first been planted. They had always seemed to have been growing there. And it was in a Muslim area, but nobody dared to go near it because they knew how sacred the tulsi plants were. So when he came to this place, he had a very strong premonition that this was actually the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. And after doing some further investigation, he became quite certain of this. But to confirm his discovery, he arranged to have Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj brought there, who by this time was so old that he was all bent over, and they used to carry him in a basket. He was well over 120 years old. He was so elderly. And his eyelids used to droop down like this over his eyes, and he'd have to prop them up to be able to see. So he was seated in this basket, and they brought him there, and they carried him very carefully. And when they placed the basket down and he saw this place, he became so totally ecstatic that he started leaping up and down and dancing and chanting. And he confirmed definitely that this was the place of Lord Chaitanya. It is also said that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had one young son who had a skin disease on his body. So when he came there, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj told him that he should lie down at this place and his problem would go away. So he did. He lay his body down in that area, and then all the disease over his body was removed. So then after he discovered the yoga pit, it was he then who wrote this Navadvip Mahatmya and Navadvip Bhavataranga, the two books which actually comprise of all of the instructions on how to do Parikrama. And also they give all the definitions of where all the places are. Then it was the work of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur to start the Parikrama, to maintain the Parikrama, and also to establish mats at all those places. So here we see, this is a map of Antadweep, Mayapur. And it shows Mayapur in 1500 AD. And you can see how many places, at many of these places, I'll point them out, there are Gaudiya Math temples because they are pastime places. This is where our ISKCON Mandir is at the bottom. Approximately, of course, the Ganga has changed radically since that time. So down here is the house of Nandanacharya, below, one of the first places that we go on Parikrama, which is the place where Lord Nityananda hid when he first came to Navadvip to see if Lord Chaitanya could find him. Then up further we have the Yogapit. Then we have Srivasangam, Advaita Bhavan, Gadadha Bhavan. Then we have the house of Murari Gupta, the house of Chandrasekhar Acharya, the house of Sridhar. All of these places, all in a line up here, these are all locations of Gaudiya Math temples marking pastime places of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this was all given in this Navadvip Mahatmya, where he would say, 10 kilometers north, there is the house of this person. 5 kilometers further, there is the house of that person. And then it was Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur who located them and established the temples there. So it is actually that Navadvip or Mayapur Dham is the gift of Bhaktivinoda Thakur to the whole world. If it were not for him, we would not know anything. And he also predicted that there would be a wonderful temple, as we are yet to see. He predicted also that the Westerners and the Bengalis together would be chanting Jai Sachi Nandan, Jai Sachi Nandan, all over the world, and also there in Prikram, if Navadweep. He predicted all these things. If we can just think back, use our imagination and think back historically, at a time when the British were controlling India, and they were making the Indians feel extremely embarrassed by their mythology and their superstitious Hindu culture. When the British were training, and the German scholars were coming and becoming Indologists, that means they would become very vastly learned in Sanskrit. Then they would study the Vedas. But what was their purpose in studying the Vedas? Their purpose was to undermine the faith of the Indians in their own culture. So the British had control of the school systems. So all the young Bengalis would grow up in a British school, wherein they would be very much ridiculed or put down if they showed any signs of being partial to their own primitive culture. And the British, one of the most insulting things that they did to the Indian culture was they created this idea of Aryans and Dravidians. I remember coming here in 1977 to Vrindavan, and at that time there was a headmaster of this school here, Vrindavan Gurukul, called Dr. Sharma. And he was a very scholarly man. So he was explaining to us this Dravidian theory, which I had no idea about before speaking with him. He explained how the British created a theory that the Aryans, as Srila Prabhupada talks about, that the Aryan culture is an Indian culture. He uses this example, I think, also in Bhagavad Gita, when he tells Arjuna that the way he's acting is non-Aryan. And the Aryans were very highly elevated culture. That this was actually the European culture that came down through the Himalayas and came into India. And it came at a certain date. I've forgotten what the date is, but any Indian textbook will tell you, because everyone studies this in school. And that prior to the time when the Aryans came from Europe, the culture in India was Dravidian, and they were very blackish and very ignorant and very, very primitive, and they didn't know anything. But by the influence of this European stock that came, then the Indians became paler skinned, more intelligent, and of course this all glorified the importance of Christianity and explained why there were so many strange doctrines in the Dravidian Hindu culture about all kinds of gods that look like animals, fish and lions, turtles and so forth, and all of these strange stories that the Hindus were attached to that were very, very embarrassing. So the younger generation was growing up in school hearing this. So when we see the condition of India today, and their extreme lack of, their embarrassment practically with their own culture, and their extreme insecurity with being behind the West and trying to catch up in all Western things. This was very much the effect that the British had on India. And this was their heyday, their prime, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur was making these predictions. That in future the people of Russia, of America, of England, these proud Westerners would come and they would be wearing dhotis and they would shave their heads and look like Bengalis and they would play the kartals and the mridanga and they would be singing Jai Sachi Nandan, Jai Sachi Nandan, not turning the English turning the British, the Indians against their own culture, but actually converting to that culture. So we can imagine how revolutionary his ideas were. Now they don't seem so surprising. We take it a bit for granted. Here we all are. What's the big deal? But this is 100 years ago that he was speaking, and great changes have taken place since that time. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as Srila Prabhupada has given us predictions into the future, he gave predictions at that time also, what would take place, and now these things are actually happening. So the second thing that he did, the first one is to locate the Yogapit, and the second one was to write this Navadvip Bhavataranga and Navadvip Mahatmya, which give all the Prikram information. Then, the third one that he did was from his, he had two places in Godram Dweep. First, he established an office called at a place called Surabikund, and then he established his own house at in Godram called Swananda Sukhida Kunj. So his mood of preaching from Surabikund was Namhata. And from there, he wrote so many bhajans about Surabikund, glorifying this Namhata, or the preaching, the traveling and preaching and setting up hattas or different groups and centers for the glorification of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he established this preaching system, and he wrote down all of the ideas of how it should be executed. And he gave a vision for how preaching should be set up. And practically speaking, we will see that one day his outlines will be relevant and useful all over the world. So that was his next thing that he did, coming from Surabikund. Then also he wrote over 100 books. This was whilst being a magistrate, taking care of a family of, I think, 12 children, and building the yoga pit and doing all of these other things at the same time. At night he used to write. He wrote so many books, translated so many books. And he wrote so many bhajans. And through the simple Bengali language, he gave the highest transcendental knowledge. Beginning with the Sharanagati book, where he gave very simple songs, going right up to his Gita Mal, where he gives the whole bhajan rahasya, all the secrets of how to practice the topmost levels of Raganuga Bhakti are all there in the simple Bengali language. So all the ordinary people could understand scientifically all the different stages of bhakti just simply through his songs. So then also, I'd just like to read one thing that I found interesting in relation to his writing. There was one book that he wrote. It was called Bhagavat Tarka Marichi Mal. So this, from this introduction, you can understand what an exalted personality Bhaktivinoda Thakur is. He says, actually in the concluding remarks, Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes how he came to write the book as he did. How I was inspired to compile this book is a mystery, which I felt improper to disclose, as it might constitute spiritual pride. Subsequently, I realized that it would be a slight against my spiritual master, which might stand as an obstacle on my path of my spiritual progress, and therefore I am speaking without any shame. I recorded the fact that while under the benediction of my guru, I was meditating deeply upon the Srimad Bhagavatam one day, when in a vision Sri Swarup Damodar, the intimate adherent of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, instructed me to compile the verses of the Bhagavat in accordance with the principles of Sambandha, Abhideha, and Prayojana. These are the three stages of bhakti. Sambandha means to establish our relationship with Krishna, to find out who I am, who is Krishna, what is my relationship with this world. All of this knowledge is called Sambandha Gyan, knowledge of our relationship. The next stage here, Abhideha, means how to practice. Once I have that knowledge, I've acquired all the information. How to practice that? What should I do to re-establish my now forgotten relationship with Krishna once again? That is called Abhideha. And there are 64 Abhidehas, or 9 Abhidehas, or you can say 5. One is to reside in Mathura Vrindavan, in a holy place, to worship the deities, to associate with the devotees, to chant the holy name, and to read Srimad Bhagavatam. So these are the practices of devotional service are called Abhideha. And the final, Prayojana, means when one has actually obtained that perfection of bhakti, that one has obtained love for Krishna once again, which is the only goal of all of our practices. It should be the only goal of everything that we're doing. By these Abhidehas, we should want that within our heart, our natural love for Krishna may again be awakened. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was writing on these three principles through using of the Bhagavatam verses, as set forth by Sri Chaitanya. So the book could be read with an easy understanding and with happiness by the devotees of the Lord. Sri Damodar Swarup, Swarup Damodar, further guided me by giving me a wonderful explanation of the first verse of the Bhagavad. And he also showed me how I was to explain the verses in the light of the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. So we can just imagine what caliber of personality Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is, that Srila Swarup Damodar appeared to him, wrote, explained to him what to write in the verses, told him how he should proceed. So this is the inspiration that we can get by reading about the life of these exalted personalities. How high is their service to Lord Chaitanya? And by reading their songs, by reading their ideas, we can have faith in their ideas. We can have faith in what they say. Although we ourselves are unable to see what they see, we should place our faith in their words. And by doing this, we will be able to gradually share their vision. So in the end of Navadvip Bhavataranga, one of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Parikram books, he describes also his own spiritual perfection. He says here, "I will worship Radha and Govinda while staying fixed in my own vows, and shall perpetually gaze upon Radha Kund and Vrindavan." He's talking about seeing these places in Navadvip. We've heard and we've said that Navadvip and Vrindavan are identical. But we cannot see that. We're only repeating what we've been told. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur had this vision. He could see his Swananda Sukhada Kunj. He could see this place as non-different than Lalita Kund at Radha Kund. So he says, "Remembering the feet of Ananga Manjari, and remaining immersed in the bliss attained by my services performed to their lordship, I will thereby drown in pure ecstatic prema." This Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the servant of the servants of Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya, is begging for residence in Navadvip Dham. "I am eager for the feet of Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Goswami, and from them I anxiously beg to achieve my own desired perfect spiritual body and service. O residents of Navadvip, Vrindavan and Jagannath Puri, please establish me eternally in Aisodhyan, the abode of the Lord. This is certainly within your power, for this is also your abode. As my position is simply as a servant, only on the pretext of somehow assisting you in your service to their lordships will I be able to obtain my residence in the Dham. O Navadvip Dham, please shower me with your mercy. Without your favor, how can anyone attain residence in the Lord's holy abode? Please do not consider whether I am qualified or not. I am simply clinging to the instructions of Janava Devi and Nityananda Prabhu, which is the essence of my life. Whoever reads this Bhavataranga with devotional faith will experience the nectar of the sportive pastimes of Lord Gauranga arising in their minds. And Sri Swarup Damodar, who had instructed him earlier, Sri Swarup Damodar will certainly show them mercy, accepting them as personal associates of the spiritual Dham while giving the shade of his own lotus feet." So this is the perfection that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was able to explain for us and to manifest in his own life. So I'll stop here and see if anyone has any questions on Navadvip Dham, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, or anything, any other subject. Yes.
Can I ask about what happened in
1910? He remained in reclusively in Bhakti Bhavan. He had one Bhakti Kutir in Jagannath Puri and one Bhakti Bhavan that he had built. Bhavan means like a house in Calcutta. So after that time, between 1910 and 1914, he simply remained there more or less alone and didn't want to see anyone. And in that state of inner concentration, he was meditating on all of these internal thoughts that he had written in code form in the books, in his songs and so forth like that. So he went into his own eternal mood of service to Radha and Krishna, in a state of trance or samadhi at that time, according to those who have documented his life. That's what they say. And then for 4 years he remained like that. In 1914, then he left this world. Did you have any further question about that?
No, just one question.
Okay. Anything else? Any comments? It says that he left on June 23rd, 1914, when the sun began its southern course. It was the same day that Gadadhar Pandit, the incarnation of Srimati Radharani, had left the world some 450 years before. Precisely at noon, the Thakur entered the eternal pastimes of the Lord, far beyond the vision of the conditioned souls of this world. The Thakur's samadhi ceremony was delayed until the sun began its northern course. At that time, his last remains were taken from Bhakti Bhavan and brought to his home in Godram Dweep. So if they were planning to, they were delaying the samadhi, they would have to cremate his body. Sometimes this was done. There was also, I had heard that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said to the external observer that he left his body also in Calcutta. And there were those who wanted to cremate his body also, but then there were some of his very loyal followers who insisted that his body should be taken and placed the very next day in Samadhi in Mayapur. So his transcendental form was taken by train and immediately placed in Samadhi. But since there was some auspicious reason for starting the Samadhi at a particular time, then it seems that was the reason why the cremation took place. If we have no more questions, I'll read something about, a little more about Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Yes?
What happened with his relationship with Bhakti Siddhartha?
When he built his house, Sananda Sukhada Kunj, there's two rooms in that house. There's two like bedroom study rooms. They have a bed and a desk and a chair. One was for himself and one was for Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So he had so many sons, but the one who he was close and dear to him was Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So he was often, in 1910 when he was in Puri, he was also there. And many times when he was a young brahmachari, he stayed at Nila Kutir, which is across the road from the Bhakti Kutir on the beach in Puri next to Haridas Thakur's Samadhi. So it seems that they were very close because of their transcendental realizations. But Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, let me see his timeline, what he was doing at the same time. He, in 1905, he was with his father in Puri, but then from 1905 until 1909, he was living alone at the yoga pit. So he must have seen him regularly. He would be coming and going to the yoga pit, and he was chanting there. Then after that, in 1909, he moved his place from the yoga pit to Chandrasekhar Acharya's house. That's the Chaitanya Math. So until 1909, there would have been regular interactions between them. And then in 1911, he went to defend the position of the Vaishnavas against the Brahmanas. Now that was already, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it says in the life of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that Bhaktivinoda Thakur was indisposed. So he asked him to go. So he had already retired by that time. So he sent his son to make that big stand to defend the position of Vaishnavism. And then in 1914, he took his first disciple, or one of his first disciples, and introduced sannyasa and giving of the sacred thread. So his preaching was already starting to take place. So certainly they were both in the same area. They must have seen each other. You know, they were either in Calcutta or Mayapur. There must have been interaction between them. But that's all that I can put together here. Yes?
I have a question, but it is a long one. And that's,
Yes, we'll hear some. But it's in 1 hour. In 5 hours or 6 hours, it's not very easy to give a very thorough presentation of Navadvipa. Therefore, that was why I chose to take certain personalities and as my focus, because otherwise you could go endlessly into the pastimes and still you wouldn't be satisfied after a week. So I'll give some, but it will be very, as I said, very brief, unfortunately. And then you'll have to come and go on Navadvipa Parikrama, and then you can hear everything. All right, so we'll do something like that tomorrow. Yes. Any other questions? Yes. He accepted a cloth, I think it says in here, that was Jagannath Das. He took the cloth of Jagannath Das Babaji. He didn't take his cloth, he took the old cloth of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. But he wanted to take he wanted to accept it from Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Yes. But he's not officially his Shiksha or Diksha. He didn't have a direct relationship with Bhaktivinoda Thakur, so he wasn't exactly lower than him. I'll read his predictions. He proposed that all contending theories and religions could be unified through the scientific teachings of Lord Chaitanya. For the universal religion of all souls is devotional service to the Supreme Lord. It was his specific desire that the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu be spread all over the world. In his monthly Vaishnava journal, Sajana Toshani, he wrote, Sriman Mahaprabhu did not descend with his associates to deliver a certain number of human beings in the land of India, but rather his purpose was to deliver and uplift all living beings in all countries of the world by practicing the eternal religion of all souls. He quoted from the Chaitanya Bhagavat, My name will be preached in all the countries and towns that exist throughout the world. So that's pretty amazing. If you think when he was writing, people couldn't conceive of what he was saying. There was one story that Atma Tattva used to tell in a very animated way, which it was so nice, even if it's not true, it's so nice, whether he added a theatrical touch to it. But he was describing that when Srila Prabhupada had one house in Calcutta, he had some rooms that he used to arrange to be used for Gaudiya Math functions. And so these different Gaudiya Math sannyasis would give lectures there, and Srila Prabhupada lived in the rooms beside. So he said that one of Prabhupada's godbrothers told him this story, that he had become a professor of Sanskrit, and he used to lecture there regularly. So he was lecturing, and in his lecture he was talking about this prediction of Lord Chaitanya, how his name would be spread to every town and village of the world. But just like there's certain things that people told us today, we'd find them inconceivable because we don't see any sign of them. So there was no sign of something like this. So when he was lecturing about this, Srila Prabhupada, as the story goes, was sitting chanting his japa, and then he came out later, this godbrother, and he had some doubt about this statement. So he mentioned this doubt to Srila Prabhupada that how it was hard to believe really that it was going to be every town and village of the world. Maybe all over India, maybe. But not really, it was hard to imagine any further than that. So he was expressing his doubt to Srila Prabhupada, and according to this story, Srila Prabhupada said to him that actually this would come to pass. And he said, one fool who has unflinching faith in his spiritual master, he will do it. And then he turned around to him and he said, but don't worry, it's not you. So then, Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayerfully invoked the Lord and expressed this heartfelt desire. There are many kinds of religion in the world, and amongst all of them, the highest development of religion is the congregational chanting of the Supreme Lord's divine names. Of this there is no doubt. Alas, when will that day come when all greatly fortunate souls in countries such as England, France, Russia, Prussia, which doesn't exist anymore, America, and so forth, will take up banners, kettle drums, mridangas, and kartals, and thus cause the ecstatic waves of Harinam Sankirtan and the singing of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's holy name to rise in the streets of their towns and cities. Or when will that day come when pure and transcendental Vaishnava Prem will be the only religion of all souls, and all tiny sectarian religions will meet in the unlimited universal religion of Vaishnavism as rivers merge into that great ocean? Or when will that day come? Advaita Acharya invoked the descent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the salvation of the souls of this age. And along with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Kali Yuga avatar, who is forever prepared to distribute his mercy, descended the holy name of Krishna. In the same way, the great eternal associates of the Lord have descended to keep the mercy of that great current of kirtan flowing strongly. So this is what we were talking about with Srila Prabhupada, that his activities are lila. He is keeping the current of that great ocean of kirtan flowing strongly. And we also have some, remarkable as it is, part to play in keeping that great ocean of Sankirtan flowing strongly. And therefore we get the good fortune to come here to Vrindavan, to go to Navadvip, to hear about Jagannath Puri, to hear the pastimes of the Lord. And then by hearing these things, to become inspired to continue to keep that great river flowing, so that all the sectarian ideas of everyone all over the world can merge into the actual pure religion, which is Krishna consciousness, as Srila Prabhupada explained it. The earnest entreaties of those great souls who invoke the mercy of the Lord with every breath bring inconceivable shelter to those lost in the darkness of material existence. When Srila Vasudeva Datta Thakur offered to accept all the sins of all the souls in the universe if they could be delivered by the Lord, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, "Whatever a pure devotee wants from his master, Lord Krishna doubtlessly grants, because he has no other duty than to fulfill the desire of his devotee. If you desire the deliverance of all living entities within the universe, would he induce you to suffer the sinful reactions of other living entities? Whosoever's welfare you desire immediately becomes a Vaishnava, and Krishna delivers all Vaishnavas from the reactions of their past sinful activities. Because of your honest desire, all living entities within the universe will be delivered, for Krishna does not have to do anything to deliver all the living entities of the universe." This is coming from Chaitanya Chaitamrita. So this is so wonderful, and we think how positive and how strong these words are, that Krishna is simply interested in taking care of his devotees. So why shouldn't we become more and more and more attached to him and become more deeply and deeply his devotee? And how much reciprocation he will give. He promises. He promises. So we should try to become his devotee deeply. In answer to the prayers of Srila Satchitananda Bhaktivinod Thakur, the great personifications of compassion and mercy, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada came to fulfill his desire. So this also Srila Prabhupada refers to. He says, "It is the desire of Bhaktivinoda Thakur to preach the Chaitanya cult all over the world. And in 1875 he predicted that someone would soon come who would individually preach this cult all over the world, single-handedly, alone. We have difficulty doing things in a group. He was going to do it alone, with no help. So if his benediction is there, and my Guru Maharaj's blessings are there, we can go ahead without any impediment. But all of us must be very sincere and serious." This is Srila Prabhupada speaking. So by the power of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's pure desire and the identical pure desires of his son and his son's disciple as well as the desire of all pure followers of the Lord, the universe will surely be delivered. Billions of souls will go back to Godhead by the mercy of these pure Vaishnavas. Such is the power of one who is as good as God. So we will stop here, and you have a couple of minutes to run down the stairs, and don't be late for the evening, Aarti. Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol.